When most people think of the banjo, here's what usually comes to mind. Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, the song Dueling Banjos, and a memorable scene from the movie Deliverance, and the soundtrack to the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. In a career spanning over three decades, musician Bela Fleck has played that kind of traditional bluegrass music while also pushing the boundaries of his instrument through explorations in jazz, rock, and world music, and with his new release, classical music. Mr. Fleck has won 15 Grammy Awards and has been nominated in more categories than any other artist in Grammy history. His latest CD, The Imposter, on the Deutsche Grammophon Mercury Classics label, showcases his first compositions for orchestra and classical chamber ensemble, and I'm very pleased to welcome Bela Fleck back to our show. Hi.
Hi.
Now, an imposter is someone who finds himself in places and situations where he doesn't belong. How much should we read into this?
That's kind of what I do in general. I guess it's up to the people there to decide whether I had a right to be there or not. But I do like to put myself in situations where the banjo isn't typically a part of the music, or I have something that I have to learn by being there.
You've composed things, do we still use the word classical? It's really hard because classical usually means to me Mozart.
I could tell you my opinion, but I'd be an imposter telling you, you know. So, interacting with musicians from the classical world is something I've been doing for a while. But writing my own compositions, you know, from start to finish, every single note for everybody to play, that's actually new for me.
Have any modern composers incorporated banjo into their compositions?
Well, not really.
I mean, the other Bela, Bartok?
No, why didn't he? I mean, his music would be so great for the banjo. I really want to investigate more of it.
Well, Nashville is the home of country music. Is that why you've recorded with the Nashville Symphony?
Well, they were the ones that actually gave me a commission to write a banjo concerto. So that was a big piece of it. But I think it's very fitting that Nashville are the people that commissioned the banjo concerto.
But then the chamber quartet is called Brooklyn Rider.
That's the name of the group. Yeah, they live here in Brooklyn. Yeah, and that was actually commissioned by Butler University in Indiana, that piece. But it was an excuse for me to write for a wonderful string quartet.
So most of these pieces were commissioned?
These two, yeah. Basically, these are two large works, at least for me, a 36-minute concerto and a 25-minute string quintet that featured the banjo in an orchestra and with a string quartet.
It's called Night Flight Over Water.
The string quartet, yeah, quintet.
Now, that title is very evocative.
Yeah.
Were you writing it with something in mind?
Well, you know, sometimes when you're writing a piece like this, you don't quite know till you get done. And then you realize, oh, I know what's going on. And really, the two pieces connect to each other in certain ways. And the first piece is, I call it the imposter, because to me the first movement feels like I snuck into a masquerade with a mask on. And second movement, I've, you know, infiltrated and integrated myself into it. And the third movement, it comes out that I don't belong there at all. I start to play some bluegrass in the third movement with the orchestra. The next piece to me is the escape. After I've been outed, that I've taken off out of the castle and the people are in hot pursuit.
So you have a whole narrative for the CD.
Yeah, actually. I mean, I was kind of thinking about that because I realized after I wrote the concerto that I felt like that was the way it went, and what was going to come after it was going to be on the record right after it, so I thought maybe it would connect.
Now, you are going to perform live for us, but our budget doesn't allow us to either have a string quartet or a full symphony orchestra in the studio, as much as we would love to.
Oh, I thought.
So you're going to do a solo?
They're not here. Okay. Yeah, no, I'd love to.
You were wondering where they were.
I'll play a little bit of stuff from the second movement. This is just imagine an incredible symphony orchestra playing along. Thank you.
Mela Fleck performing music from his latest CD called The Imposter. And get sounds out of the banjo that I'm not used to hearing at times. I was thinking gypsy guitar, zither, harpsichord. I didn't know the banjo was all that flexible. Or is it just that you have this incredible Gibson banjo that you can play on?
It's a good banjo. I will admit, it's a good banjo. This is a Gibson from the 1930s. It's called a Style 75, and that was because they cost $75 in 1937.
Which is a lot of money then.
Yeah, and this was a slightly lower quality model than, for instance, some of the shinier ones. But it has the sound, and nobody's been able to really duplicate that sound since the early 40s.
You mentioned earlier that you kind of feel most comfortable when you're slightly out of your comfort zone. Is that why you've expanded beyond the traditional banjo music into jazz, rock, pop, world music?
I guess I'm not sure if it's that I feel the most comfortable when I'm uncomfortable, but I feel a duty to be uncomfortable, and that if I'm uncomfortable, I'm probably where I need to be, you know, in order to keep on pushing the thing forward, which for some reason I care about. I know it's kind of crazy. Like, who cares why, you know, that the banjo can fit into a lot of kinds of music. But I've taken it on, and it's gotten sewed up into my own identity as a cause. But also, I just love a lot of different kinds of music, and I love using the banjo as my entry into that music, my way to learn about it and try to make it feel like it belongs there.
Well, I'm assuming that you're interested in classical music, or thinking that you could play classical music, grows out of your collaboration with the bassist Edgar Meyer, and then Yo-Yo Ma, also part of that group.
Right. Well, I was named after classical composers by my father, but he wasn't around when I was a kid, and the person that was my stepfather, Joe Palladino, and he played the cello. And so a lot of times, although I wasn't particularly tuning into it, I would hear him playing with string quartets, would come over and play the music in the house. And so I was being acclimated to it, and it sounded very normal to me. So when I picked up the banjo and started playing it, the idea of learning some classical pieces seemed like a completely natural thing to do.
Well, did you come to the banjo rather late? Had you played another instrument first?
Yeah, I came out to the banjo when I was 15. I was playing guitar. And you know how, like kids, you know, they can be sort of interested in something or they can be on fire? And I was interested in the guitar, but when I got the banjo, I was on fire.
Even though many people would consider the guitar the more complicated, the more sophisticated instrument.
Right, or just more, you know, more common, really. I mean, it's just been around and been played in the mainstream so much, and the banjo is a little bit off to the side ever since its early days when it was, you know, before guitar, it was much, much bigger.
Well, it's an instrument that has its roots in Ireland and Scotland, but also a deep history in Africa.
Yeah, more so Africa, actually. That's where the banjo really comes from. The banjo came into Irish music in the 1900s. Where, you know, it's
so Africa first. Began in Africa in place in West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Was it brought over to the United States
by the slaves?
By the slaves?
Yeah, either actual instruments, as some people claim in the Gambia, or just the knowledge of how to make them. You know, when they were here, and drums were not cool because that seemed like a way to communicate with each other. But a banjo was a soft instrument and was not discouraged.
Were people surprised when you played banjo in Africa?
Yeah.
By what you could do?
Yeah, they were. But I think they were more surprised that I could, that I had taken the time to learn some of their music, which is a respect thing. Like, if you show up and you've made even the slightest effort to really understand where they're coming from, it's going to be a whole different conversation.
Do you think that's because you grew up in New York, where we have this sense of really being part of all over the world? You can play bluegrass even though it's not really indigenous to the area, and you can think about African music, world music as well?
Well, I do think that there's a precedent, like, to being a New Yorker who plays the banjo, if you go back to the, you know, late 1800s and early 1900s, and it's a lot less odd for a guy from New York to pick up the banjo and play it than now. Well, you say, well, why aren't you from the South if you're going to play the banjo? It's because in the early 1900s, everybody had a banjo in the closet, and, you know, it was lots of New York banjo players.
Well, you mentioned that you just felt like you were on fire when you picked up the banjo.
Right.
What was the difference?
It's a profound difference. It is not a guitar. It's a drum. It's a combination of a drum and a guitar, really, and there's something primitive in the sound that calls out to people that hear that call. And not everybody hears it. Like my brother was in the same room when we first heard the Beverly Hillbillies on TV. And I said, what is that sound? And, you know, we're little kids. And he was like, oh, what sound? It didn't mean a thing to him. You know, but I met a lot of banjo players who heard Earl Scruggs play and it changed their life. They had to go find out what instrument that was and go learn to play it.
Well, he made it into an instrument that was a real challenge instead of a simple instrument where you could do a little strumming, one step up from a ukulele.
Ironically, the early 1900s banjo music is incredibly complex in a whole different way than Earl Scruggs, but Earl brought it back from pretty much doom.
Are you going to play something else for us?
Sure, I will.
Bela Fleck, his latest CD is The Imposter. It's on Deutsche Grammophon, Mercury Classics.
Shh, don't tell them.
Why?
I'm a banjo player. I'm not supposed to be on that label.
Well, I'm glad that there still are classical labels.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm glad they like this project enough to put it out. Drifting from the classical side a little bit there. mixing them up a little bit.
How will your upcoming tour be structured? Will you play the orchestral pieces one night and the chamber pieces the next?
Well, it's going to be different every day. Like, for instance, tomorrow I'm lucky enough to be performing with the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra in Saratoga, and I'll be playing just the concerto. Mm-hmm. And then...
There's no improvisation in these pieces, is there?
No, really, I chose not to improvise in these pieces because I always improvise. And so if I just improvise in front of an orchestra, what am I learning? And what are the strengths of composing as opposed to improvising, which is what I wanted to explore. So I found that by writing everything out, I could take a lot of time to really develop ideas that I couldn't play spontaneously.
And did you do all the scoring?
I did. Mm-hmm.
So you had to think about how horns sound and violins.
Yeah, I did. And I went and met with all the principals of the symphony, which was a great thing about living in Nashville. I could just go over there and they would spend time and just you know, get a little bit of a talk from each guy about what do you love about your instrument? What should I know that I might not know? And some of it impacted the piece.
Because some musicians have complained over the years that composers write for their instrument without a real knowledge of it, so they write impossible parts to play.
Right, right. And I was concerned about that. But, you know, I brought the parts I was worried over over to the orchestra and got different guys to check them for me and make sure they were reasonable. And generally, there was no problem.
Are you performing in the New York area anytime soon?
I don't have anything set right now, but I will. Possibly with Brooklyn Rider before the concerto, but you never know.
Bela Fleck's latest CD, The Impostor, is on Deutsche Grammophon Mercury Classics. He plays and composes, and the Nashville Symphony Orchestra with Giancarlo Guerrero performs on one of the pieces, and the Brooklyn Rider, a string quartet, on another one. And we're going to go out with Infiltration.
Great.
Thank you so much for being
with
us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.